This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Housewives Archives, a podcast where we talk in great depth all things Real Housewives and a bit of Vanderpump Rules. My name is James Evans, and
I can't believe that Tom Zander had my co-host over when Ariana's away.
It's Ellie Nunn!
I love that the intro has stopped being clever at all. It's just to have a quote.
Just pick a quote. Any quote. Nothing to do with anything.
That also, because I'm so much less familiar with what we're talking about today, that took me so long to work out what on earth you were doing or saying.
I was also playing with a limited hand right now, yes, because I couldn't really go deep with any of the references. It was either that or like, these truly are the best days of our lives.
That I don't even know what that one is.
Okay, that's... It's the theme tune, babes.
Oh.
Just raise your glasses high. This one's for you tonight.
Oh, babe, seeing a bit of that Ladies Who Lunch
style.
The best
theme tune on all of Bravo.
I'm buzzing for today's episode because it was so different to watch something that I knew nothing about. And also quite like fever dreamy to have Andy Cohen there and Lisa Vanderpump there. And then all these people I don't know. And it was so different to Real Housewives. And I did it in a weird way because I watched the reunion and then went back and watched Scandival, the episode, which kind of filled in some things. And I have so many thoughts and I have so many questions. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to chatting about it. First of all, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've got a bit of a poorly tummy.
Oh, no.
But nothing to worry about. You know, just a bit of a...
You got the shits.
I got the runs. No, I don't have the runs. It's that spicy seafood platter I had last night. Night before Christmas as well.
Oh, it gets you every time.
I got the runs. Yeah. I'm chugging my Pepto Bismol.
I'm not gonna have the runs in church.
How are you? How's your drainage?
That sounded very like you were talking about my back end and diarrhea. All flowing
on the topic. Yeah,
flowing great.
Everything flowing in the right direction as it should be.
You know what, I'm actually a little constipated. It's very hot here. And oh, speaking of weather, you obviously had the sort of June cloud.
Oh, we did. It was very apocalyptic, Ellie.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie.
Were you okay?
I was fine. I was at work. I was in an office and I kept periodically looking outside and going, oh, it looks a little bit yellower than it did 5 minutes ago. And it's like, oh, okay, it looks quite sandy now. It's kind of an orangey color now. And I'm in the middle of Midtown Manhattan. And so I just had the view of Macy's with this orange glow all around it. Ooh. It did have a very end of the world Blade Runner-esque vibe to it. And I didn't check my weather app. But then if I were to at that moment in time, I would have seen that the air quality index would have been about 400. And I think I would have had a bit of a...
Yeah.
Bit of a... My heart would have started racing a little bit. And then
sorry,
I
sorry, by the way, it's not that I don't care about your near-death experience. There was a fly on my
help?
Foot.
It
was...
Oh, well, sorry. Well, let's address the fly first. Let's get that out of the way.
Oh, it's still there. It keeps landing on my foot. It's horrible.
I nearly died, Ellie.
Sorry.
I've been through the wars. But yeah, it felt very old school. I dug out because I've run out of regular disposable masks. So I had to dig out my very first COVID mask.
Wow.
It's like some relic. And I had to wear that out and about for a couple of days.
Musty.
We're a hardy bunch, us New Yorkers.
Well, I'm glad you're okay.
Thank you. I'm still here.
But he's here.
There you go.
He's still. Have you ever seen
and that
an amazing
payoff
version of that song where Eartha Kitt does it? And at the end, she does this amazing laugh where she goes, "Look who's here."
Oh, yes. Of course she did.
It's very good.
Bloody love it. But yeah, anything else?
I started a pottery course.
I saw. What prompted this?
Midlife crisis.
Yeah. I think I might have to join you. I've been asked not once, not twice, but thrice this week by three different people what my hobbies are. And every time it stopped me in my tracks, short of going, I'm an epicure.
What's that?
Just go to restaurants and eat and go to bars and drink. And
You know what's funny? I saw my older brother for dinner the other night and he listens to the podcast. Hi, Josh.
I can't get over this.
And, well, I know, because the first few times I thought he was doing it out of politeness. And every time I see him, it's so lovely that he talks to me about it as if it's famous. It's not that he's misunderstood. I don't think he thinks it is. But he just talks to me like it's a big deal in a way that is so lovely. So that's your hobby, James, bringing joy to the people.
I know, but when I'm at a barber's getting my hair cut and it's some bloke being like, so what do you do in your spare time? And
you don't want to be another white guy with a podcast.
Real Housewives. Yeah. I started a podcast in lockdown about Real Housewives.
Yeah.
Because I'm in deep. He thinks I have a wife and I can't be bothered to correct him on that. So I don't want to give the game away at this point. I'm leading a double life when I'm there. But yeah, I need to get a hobby. It's always that and what music do you listen to, where I realise I don't really listen to music either. And then I think, God, I'm a bit of a sociopath.
You know what I think is slightly sociopathic about myself is how much I listen to instrumental spa music just on the daily. Yeah. And every now and then someone will hear what I listen to because I'll be playing it on my phone in a dressing room or something. Mm-hmm. And people are like, Ellie, you listen to this all the time. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, how do you not just like fall asleep?
Yeah, that sounds great.
What a weird
thing
to have. I think it's quite psychotic to have spa music playing. Anyways, I just love it.
Hey, in this crazy world we live in, we need to take the chances we can to relax. Do you know what I like to do? What that I've done on occasion. Whenever I leave a party or a gathering late at night, I'll pop in my headphones and I'll go on YouTube and I'll search Real Housewives of Beverly Hills season finale music. You know, the bit where they play all the cards. Is that all like leaving whatever the season finale party is?
I don't believe
that. Like music. Ding, 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 ding. Ding 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 ding. It's great. I'm on the subway, just like looking out the window at the New York skyline. I'm like,
imagine your token card coming up, being like, James is still on the lookout for hobbies. For now, he is an epicure.
James has a funny tummy.
James has a poorly tummy.
His eye herpes came back. He has still yet to listen to music.
Oh, that's joyous.
Anyway, shall we get into Scandival?
Okay, without further ado. The very first thing that must be addressed.
Yeah, I know it's going to be good.
I feel like you know what I'm going to say, and you're not going to like it. Mm. James, why does Tom Sandoval look a bit like you?
Oh, God, that wasn't what I thought you were going to say.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Ellie, talk about putting a target on my back.
I'm so sorry, but you with a moustache.
World's most hated man.
I know.
Because I have had the moustache recently. And there's been periods where my hair has been like that.
But if you were to put up a picture on the Instagram of you with the moustache when you were doing something like the Rat Trap.
Yeah.
And the way you played that character as well was very Tom Sandoval. And I found he was reminding me of you a lot in character. He was very much like how you played the part, not how you are, but just the sulky and feeling sorry for himself. That was very that character.
Yeah. As I was watching that finale ep and him coming clean in, you know, is a general term to Ariana about the affair, I was like, I kind of wish I saw this before I did the Rat Trap.
It would have been real inspiration.
Because a bit like Vicky finding out that her mother's died on camera. It's like, I've never seen a raw portrayal of an affair being addressed so recently. That's a very good idea, though. I may actually have to dress as Tom Sandoval for Halloween this year.
Great idea.
Could go either way, though. I could get pelted with Rotten Tomatoes wherever I go. I'll just do it at home. I don't have friends. I'm not going to get invited anywhere anyway.
You could dress up as him, dressed up as Raquel, if you wanted to be really niche.
Yeah, get really meta, yeah.
So, okay, what would you prefer? Would you like me to go through, shall I say everything that I wrote down and then we can go through it?
Yeah, I just feel like we've gotten to a point in the zeitgeist of Scandival where everything has been covered in such a forensic, detailed way, probably much better than we're going to do on a plethora of podcasts in the New York Times and this, that, and the other. So I think our value here is you just coming in hot with all your spicy takes, and then I can just like bounce off of it.
What I'll do is I'm literally just going to read out the notes I have, and then we can pick through the carcass.
Like a couple of vultures.
And also I'll kind of end with a sort of mission statement. Some of these I don't remember what they are, so it won't make sense to me, but you might remember. How can there be someone called Lala, and how am I expected to take that seriously? Why are they all terrible in terms of their history of cheating? Ariana's dress stresses me the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Who is this strange performative Englishman? Mm-hmm. Wait, he was engaged to Rachel. Is it Rachel or Raquel? But why is it all about Ariana if they were engaged? And then for some reason I've written multiple. in inverted commas.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Why have they all slept together? I can't follow Lala. I can't follow Lala life. I can't follow Lala's life, maybe. And then for some reason I ended just with, wow, cool guy got a table.
Cool guy got a table.
Someone must have said that.
This is an oxymoron because there's no cool guy on Vanderpump Rules. There's a loser guy.
No, someone must have said, wow, cool guy got a table.
Cool guy got a table.
I imagine it was James.
Yeah. What table? Where? Okay.
I don't know, but it clearly was a line I found very funny. So,
we'll let that percolate.
And my overarching mission statement after all of that would be, because you said last week that what you'd be interested in was like an outsider's perspective without knowing these people and without all of that background is who comes out the kind of fit, like morally, where does it all sit? Mm-hmm. And as someone who's only watched the reunions and the Scandival episode, I understand that what they did was bad, but I don't understand the level of reaction.
Yeah.
And it sort of feels to me, obviously it's all for TV and reality TV, so they're also making it massive for that. But it also kind of feels like people who haven't experienced any massive life problems, where I do think these things happen. I think what I find odd about it is that they've all like cheated in the past and with each other. So I don't really understand where this moral high ground comes from. The level that they're all at, it feels extreme in a way that maybe I'm missing quite an important bit of...
No, I think it's out of the mouths of babes. And I think with your childlike eyes with which you're viewing Vanderpump Rules, some real wisdom is coming out here. And I agree. I think, you know, two things can be true. First and foremost, Raquel and Tom did a really shitty thing.
Yes.
And should be held to account. And that is kind of answering our question last time about what a reunion should be. I think this is kind of a perfect example where we had a lot of lingering open questions that needed to be addressed. But yeah, the way the cast spoke to them, and Raquel in particular, I think that's an important point, was excessively cruel.
Yeah.
I know we circled the drain before on many Bravo shows with this conversation, but I'm sorry, it was bullying. I could understand it even being, not that I would condone it, I could understand them saying, you're a disgusting slut. But when it gets to a point of like, you are nothing, you are subhuman, no one likes you here, you are worthless, go away. It gets to a point where it's like, okay, I think we can just maybe pump the brakes on that a little bit.
It was intense.
It was intense. And I have to keep reminding myself that this was filmed 2-3 weeks after Ariana found out. So who am I to say that if I were in that situation, I would perform with any more grace? I'm not expecting her to give Tom and Raquel that. My hope is that since they filmed and it's aired, that Ariana's further down her healing journey and that she can maybe take the edge off of it a little bit more in the way that she talks about it. Because it is surprising that, for some context, in a sea of, you are absolutely right, complete hypocrites with no moral compass whatsoever, Ariana's probably been the closest person to be on the right side of sociopathy. Like, Ariana's the only person in the cast, I think, who votes.
Yeah, and I got that. And I definitely, it's not that I felt she was overreacting per se. Like, I understand that pain and that hurt. But it was more like the level as a collective.
Yeah.
Was like crazed, was manic to the point where my worry with these shows is that without any kind of aftercare, it's that frightening thing where it feels like you might sort of push someone to kill themselves or something. Like, it really felt like dark.
Yeah. When we ended the final part of the reunion, Michael and I turned to each other and we were like, I really hope that Raquel is okay, genuinely. And I'm really worried about her well-being in a way that I haven't really been since probably like Taylor back in the early days of Beverly Hills. And I sincerely hope she's getting the care that she deserves. And I think, first of all, a huge props to her for even turning up at the reunion, because bigger housewives before her have not turned up to such an event. So I think production really owe her a huge thanks for even turning up, because without her, it would have been a huge black hole. And I didn't really feel like she was treated with a lot of respect on set. And then just... it's hard because I don't want to armchair diagnose, but I think various things have happened in Raquel's life where she places a primacy on relationships specifically with men, and she gleans her own identity and sense of self-worth through those relationships with men. And unfortunately, those relationships all tend to be problematic for various reasons, whether it be because they're supposedly off limits in the case of Tom Sandoval, or she's just with someone who, quite frankly, was emotionally abusive, like James.
I just want to also talk, having not seen anything of that relationship, he's vile, that man.
Yeah, James and Lala, actually, to that point, only... they're characters that only work when they're on the outs with the majority. When they're the underdog and they're trolling, you're rooting for them. But as soon as they're ingratiated into the majority and they're still using those tricks and they have the power of the majority behind them, it just comes off as completely irritating and obnoxious.
He's just the most self-indulgent person I've ever seen.
They both reacted exactly how I expected they would in this reunion. You know, as soon as Sandoval opens his mouth and he starts crying, and immediately he goes into James interrupting him, being like, shut the fuck up, mate, fucking pussy, come on, buck up. And then like getting up and storming off to the bathroom every 5 minutes. It's just so showy and childish in the worst kind of way, in a way that actually detracts from the show and letting us hear what these key players have to say. They're such supporting characters who carried themselves with like a main character energy. And I think to your point about the collective seeming so intense, that was part of the issue, where I completely understand Ariana's blind rage at this point because she was the one who was affected. But then as we get further and further away from the blast zone, and then we encounter these tertiary characters like James, who does have like a bit of a connection to Raquel because he used to be engaged to her, and then Lala, who has no skin in the game, matching and sometimes exceeding Ariana's volume and vitriol, it just becomes so irritating.
It was
and you want to go shut
exhaustive.
Up. And if nothing else, it's stupid because it's going to make them look terrible, confounded by the fact that they're all massive hypocrites, as you say. Like, I know there's varying scales of it, but Lala and James are both cheaters. So the hubris that they have to sit there and be so loudly, proudly smug and sanctimonious. It's just so funny. Only the cast of Vanderpump Rules could burn all their goodwill that quickly. This should have been such an easy win for them if they all just kept their mouths shut. They were ostensibly on the right side of history, but Lala and James just couldn't help themselves. It would be so much more effective to be Sheena sitting there like a goddamn golden angel the whole time. And then when she's asked to give her 2 cents, she can like go and deliver this like teary-eyed monologue about how her daughter, who's like 2, had a nervous breakdown because she's like, why is mommy crying? And somehow managed to make the whole thing all about her. It's so fucking funny and so on brand for Sheena. But also she played it really, really well. It's that old, you know, the old adage, as Dorinda would say, of you got to talk more and... No, wait. Listen what? More, talk less.
Also, but... I was just being like... Say it, forget it, ride it,
regret it.
All of the above, yeah. So annoying. The amount of times, I lost count of the amount of times I yelled, Lala, shut the fuck up at my television screen. She is just a hypocrite in the most egregious way. Again, that Brandy Glanville thing of like, you were on the outskirts. You've been treated horribly by these women. You've been slut shamed. And then as soon as you then curry some favor amongst them, you become the muscle on behalf of the mean girls and then carry on the cycle of abuse to someone lower down the totem pole.
Yeah.
There's no integrity to your game. And she just came out with some really stupid things. She was trying to draw this comparison between Tom Sandoval and her ex, who, for some context... she had a baby with a sleazy Hollywood producer who produced shit B-movies. And to look at him, he looks exactly like that.
I think this is where I said I don't understand Lala's life. The things kept being referred to. I was like, what? It was very... confusing.
Yeah, she basically spent years, she was almost like a Kim Zolciak, where she came on and she'd talk about, my man does this, and my man gives me private jets, my man's giving me the Mercedes Benz to drive today, and you never see my man, he's not even named until a few seasons down the road. And it's just like a lot of weird talk about how she got a part in his film by giving him a blowjob, or they'll go to bars in disguise and she'll pretend that she's some struggling actress and she'll have sex with him for a part in a movie. And it's like, even watching it in real time, you kind of go, this guy's going to get Me Too'd.
Yeah, he did get Me Too'd. Fucking hell.
And it's like, what do you expect? And Lala's also sober now, and she goes about it in, as you would expect, the most annoying, holier-than-thou way, in which she hasn't actually changed at all. She just now has this new moral card in her back pocket to just whip out in arguments, which makes me think that the drinking wasn't really the problem, and actually it's just her personality, which sucks. She really compartmentalizes all her past transgressions as like somehow now beyond reproach, because she was drinking, which, as we discussed with the Kim Richards episode, isn't really how it works. So when Raquel points out these instances of glaring hypocrisy, she can just use her drinking as a get-out-of-jail-free card, and it doesn't really work like that. I mean, I know Lala like never fucked her best friend's man, but still.
No, but it's a bit Luann getting sober and suddenly getting very judgy of like Sonia,
right.
and it never sits well coming from that person, because it suddenly comes, as you say, across as like sanctimonious, or there being a smugness of like, well, I'm through that, so now I can. I think the thing that we hate as humans is to feel pitied.
Yeah.
And there's a slight sense that rather than appearing empathetic, which is probably where it comes from with someone like, maybe Luann did have a part of her being like, it's hard to see someone in struggling with alcohol when I know that I have as well. But it reads as like condescending and pitying.
There's also something very opportunistic about the whole thing, where they're not on that side of the room because they love and support Ariana. It's just they hate Raquel. And it's that thing of like, finally, yes, I have a reason to legitimize what was previously my irrational hatred of this woman. And that very annoying thing, we didn't really see it as much with Katie, because she sort of had the good sense to keep stum for most of the time. But Katie and Lala, for the whole season, pretty much bullied Raquel in a way that was just very mean girly. And it's so strange to think, had Scandoval not happened, there would be this bizarre alternate universe in which this was Raquel's hero edit. She would have had an amazing season, and Katie and Lala would have been dragged online for being bullies.
See, I'd have had no idea about that.
And the frustration that they're so smug now, and they can go, I knew it all along, I was right, I had your number and no one believed me. And it's like, yes, you're technically right, but you were right for all the wrong reasons. You didn't genuinely think she was going to be a homewrecker. You just saw this pretty doe-eyed girl come along and just didn't like it.
It wasn't a good look on any of them. But I mean, it's not like anyone came out particularly well. Like, Tom Sandoval came out horrendously. I kind of pitied him. And then when he said the comment about like, she kept her t-shirt on, it was really sexy. You're just like, oh, you're a douche.
That's why it's so annoying that Lala and James kept talking the whole time, because it was like, demonstrably, if you just shut up for 5 seconds and let Tom speak, like, he's going to dig his own grave.
Exactly. No, oh, totally. And it was the same when I then went back and watched the Scandoval episode. I was like, he does it for himself. And weirdly, they made me feel sorry for him.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like you say, if I just heard them speak, and when it was Tom and Raquel and things like that, I didn't like them particularly. It didn't, like, I don't really get Raquel's whole thing of going for Schwartz afterwards, and like, none of it's great.
Yeah.
None of it reads as someone who can't sort of stand up by themselves very well, kind of has to.
I think I feel
sorry for her. And I definitely think that she, in a really unfortunate way, her face reads as slightly smug or self-satisfied in terms of like, it's quite annoying. You know, when people's nervousness makes them come across as very, especially like that very last bit you're talking about, just before she gets upset, she looks weirdly very smug. And it's like an odd trait that I do understand how that must be very annoying.
I don't know. There was like a lot of talk. Even Andy Cohen said that he thought that she seemed medicated or disengaged in some way. And there's like a lot of talk online, as you might imagine, that like, Raquel's a sociopath. She didn't shed one tear. And I'm like, I don't think that means that she was unemotional. I think to look at her, she was showing emotion in a very bodily way and was having to sort of correct her breathing. And I think she, as almost like a survival technique, went into a bit of a fugue state, and however that comes across.
I agree.
Internally, there's a lot going on there. And I think her pageant background and the training that she had to go through that's given her this slightly robotic affectation affects her mannerisms to this day. Mm. And I think she is kind of a woman who's used to being controlled and groomed, and like her dad sort of keeps a close eye on her. She was in this relationship with James. It feels like she's never really made a decision on her own, and she doesn't know how to do it to the point where it feels like she's left a cult for the first time that was very oppressive and conservative to women. And she's now overcorrected the other way. And it's like, okay,
sure,
really happy for you, but now let's find a happy medium. But I also do think in many ways, considering that she's always painted as this dumb bimbo, she's in many ways, I think, the smartest person on the cast. Or she at least has a good amount of common sense to just sit there and take it on the chin.
Yeah. I agree. And in a way, that's what was so pitiable about it, was that someone perhaps more TV savvy, but not necessarily life smart, might have gone in and shouted back or engaged in the drama or made it more conflict heavy and made it about we're in love and da da da, whatever. You're right. I think that there was a kind of grace in going in and just taking it and copping to it, which, like you said, I, as a complete outsider, made me feel a bit sorry for her.
Yeah.
Do you think they're in love? Because then when I'd watched the two of them together, I was like, I don't buy that these two people are like desperately in love.
Well, I think when Andy asked Tom that question and there was this painfully long silence, I thought it was painfully long because Tom was about to say, no, I don't.
Yeah, same.
And it was going to be awkward because it was like, what was it all for?
Same.
So the fact that he said yes, even then I was like, I don't believe you.
I don't think, yeah. I believe from the very little I know, the long-term relationship. Were they saying they've been together for 9 years?
Yeah.
How long has the show been going on?
This is the 10th season.
Crazy. I couldn't believe he was 40 either.
Yeah, that's another thing. So I look like Tom Sandoval, do I?
No. No, you don't. But I did also just say I can't believe he was 40. Like, in my head, they're all super young. And the part of me was like, how depressing that this is like a show with like 40-year-old men. It's like a bit sad.
That's what I love. Because I think the reason why I put off watching Vanderpump Rules for so many years was I don't want to watch a load of people in their early 20s being people in their early 20s.
Right. Like, that's why I've never watched
it. Friends I can watch. But then as soon as I started watching it, and I was like, oh shit, they're all in their 30s. And they're the most deplorable human beings whose frontal lobes still haven't fully formed, behaving in the most reckless, self-sabotaging way. It made it so much better. I was like, oh no, these are just generally dreadful people. And the whole theme tune of like, these are the best days of our lives. I was like, oh no, it's not aspirational. It's like, you are already past your prime.
Yeah, right.
You're such fuck ups.
But has he been a fuck up before? I think that's what's weird is that he reads from this as like, I think part of the reason why maybe for me watching it as a reunion or whatever on its own, you kind of think, but you're all cheating, and it reads like he's been in a relationship for a year and a half or whatever, or 2 years, and it's come out of the honeymoon period and suddenly it's like the spark has gone, and then you find it with someone else and you have that thing of going, yeah, we love each other, but you're like, no, you don't. You fancy each other and you just forgot what it's like to fancy someone. The dynamic that's so interesting to me, having not watched any of it, is the fact that they've been together for so long. Because you're not with someone for 9 years without going through massive ups and downs and spates of losing stuff together and then finding stuff together. So it's not like that's going to have been the first time that he was unsure about the relationship. That's just how relationships work. So it's confusing because I'm like, either have you cheated before, or were you really that loyal a partner and you were with someone for 9 years, which is an amazing amount of time to be with someone, and in which case it is a massive deal, and it's weird that he and Raquel are quite casual about it in terms of going, no, we just slept together once, but now we're in love. Where I guess my question to you is like, is he a good guy normally?
Yeah, I think this is what makes Scandoval really intriguing. It's not only been a betrayal to Ariana, but it feels like a betrayal to us, the viewer, because Tom Sandoval has always been positioned by the show as the male who has the best morals in some way. That's by the very, very low bar that men hold on the show. And he's not been perfect. Basically, there was a bit of a grey area where he and Ariana started their relationship while he was already in a relationship with Kristen. And it's never been very clear what the extent of it was and whether there was an affair or if there was a bit of overlap. Mm-hmm. And then quite early on in his relationship with Ariana, there was this Miami girl. And Kristen, like an amazing fatal attraction woman scorned, she flew this girl out from Miami who alleged that she had sex with Tom while he was in a relationship with Ariana and brought him to Sir while he was at work to confront him. And he and Ariana always denied it. And it was sort of just written in history that that was the case. And that was something that Kristen was lying about. And she was just this crazy ex-girlfriend, of course. This being the story of women, she's now been
vindicated
and she was telling the truth all along. And it turns out that he did indeed cheat on Ariana and then cheated on her with one other person that so far has remained unnamed. So basically, yes, even though there's been like a bit of a cloud over him, it completely pales in comparison to every other man on the show.
Yeah, but so see, now that's shock. Interesting because I would proffer a slight sweeping statement about relationships, about long-term relationships, but my experience in life and from the people around me and watching people is relationships are hard work, obviously, because to spend that amount of time with another person changing in the way that we inevitably all change in life, based entirely on like companionship and teamwork and things like that, inevitably goes through huge ebbs and flows with the different circumstances that happen in our life. And with that, whilst you might grow an extraordinary sense of intimacy and closeness, inevitably mm-hmm. comes with a relinquishing of sexual excitement or sort of thrill or whatever. You know, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking there. But I think the people I have seen maintain, and I am going to make a generalization, but in my experience, the men I have seen in my life maintain very long-term relationships with an ease that feels unusual, mm-hmm. have engaged on some level with some sort of affirmation on the side to varying degrees in a way that assures them that they are still attractive and feeds the part of them that otherwise I think can feel very lost in a long-term relationship, particularly if they up until this point have been the ones being chased. Because biologically, up until, you know, about 40, women who want to have children are in need of something from men. Mm-hmm. And therefore often, again, I'm obviously making huge generalizations, but a pattern that we often see is that women will kind of compromise for men or change something in order to have the relationship. When that feels like it goes, I feel like a lot of men, and the really sad truth is I think a lot of men tell themselves that it's okay as well to mm-hmm. have forms of validation on the side that if anything reassure them, they go back being like, no, I am happy in my relationship, but it's terrible, but it just doesn't surprise me at all. To have three succinct, like one at the beginning, one in the middle and one at the end moments of being, oh, I slipped up, cool, but I am still attractive. And that makes me love Ariana even more because you're so amazing and great. But I've had that top up of that feeling where I think, you know, the real test of a relationship and it's extraordinary, the people who go through this together, and it's what's so amazing about that kind of companionship is to go through it without that reassurance mm-hmm. from the outside, well, without that validation from the outside. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the heart. Otherwise, relationships wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, it is. When you put it like that, it's kind of crazy that none of us saw this affair coming sooner.
You know what I mean? That it's like if those things, if that hadn't happened, then it is so mad that they'd had an affair, because that would suggest that it's someone who really has put the work in to like get through 8 years without that need for affirmation, in which case you wouldn't believe that they would have an affair unless it was proper, full-blown, I'm completely in love with this person, or I want to be on my own.
Yeah, I think Tom, this is probably a very controversial thing to say right now in the aftermath of Scandoval, but I still maintain that Tom Sandoval probably has the best moral code out of the men on Vanderpump Rules, which is not saying a lot. However, he is a bit of a dweeb who I think has a very high self-image. We've been treated to countless vignettes over the years of him playing his trumpet very badly and putting on cringy music shows and dressing like he's walking down Rodeo Drive and he just kind of looks a bit lame and basic. I think he's a bit of a narcissist, and now maybe going into his 40s. He wants a bit of affirmation. And then here we also have Raquel, who probably has like the lowest self-esteem of any woman on the show, which is also probably saying a lot, who's also looking for another kind of affirmation. It's like they are yin and yang. They are built to affirm each other's neuroses in the most chaotic way. So,
and you know what? One of the things that really annoyed me on that reunion was when, and I think potentially in the Scandival episode as well, was when Tom would refer to how Ariana put him down in their relationship and would be like, no, don't wear that. And it would cut to a clip of her in a totally undismissive way being like, oh, I like that one or whatever. Like they had no evidence of her to put up of her being sort of dismissive.
Yeah.
Which suggests that it was the lack of positive reinforcement that he was missing rather than actively being put down.
I think not even lack of positive enforcement, but like actively over embellishment.
Needing over. Exactly. That's what I mean. And so her giving a normal level of that was read as dismissive and you put me down and you made me feel this big. And it's like, I think you just feel that big.
It is also fascinating rewatching the second season reunion, which is where he just gets together with Ariana and he's talking about how they met and the genesis of their relationship. It's like beat for beat, word for word,
really,
how he describes hooking up with Raquel, it being like, it was like electric and I haven't felt something like this for years. Just like all those cliches you hear, which is maddening to hear, because just as you said, of course the thrill of a new illicit relationship is not going to compare to the deep steady love that you have with a partner for several years. And he also really commits to the cliche in a way that makes me think that he doesn't realize how unoriginal he's coming across.
I tell you what is maddening,
yeah,
that I've sort of only just thought about. You know, affairs happen, relationships end. It's awful, but I also think it's a reality that I certainly hold, that, you know, the idea of having one person your entire life is not impossible by any means, but is a very difficult bar to set for yourself, where I think if we all believed that you might have two or three people across your life who are relationships that will be extremely important to you and form who you are, and there's no failure to that not working out, it's not because you didn't find the one, it's just that was the person for that period of your life. I certainly don't regret any of my past relationships. However, the exception to that is, I think that you are in a particularly, if you're a woman who wants to have children, there is a sort of 10-year period in which if your time in a relationship comes to an end and feels that it was wasted, I don't think you're able to go, well, you know, that was that chunk in my life and I'm grateful for that and now I'm going to move on. I think the fury that must be there of, if you had no intention of committing to this together through this period in our life, which we're going to try and have children together or whatever, then you've robbed me of time that I could have had with someone else or finding someone else. And I do think, I hadn't really thought about that, that that's a... I think that it's particularly abhorrent to like fuck around with someone who's in that period of their life.
Which is interesting, because their relationship has always been portrayed as the steady rock of the show in a show where everyone else is cheating and fucking and slurping each other. But one thing that has always been like a mild source of butting heads is that Tom really wants to get married and have kids and Ariana doesn't want to get married and she's not that fussed about having kids. And I don't know, maybe there's some subconscious,
interesting,
her subconsciously maybe knowing that this isn't the guy for her and that she absolutely will change her tune. But that's just like another interesting element to it. And I think it was really powerful actually when Lisa Vanderpump said to her, like, I think it's wonderful that you froze your eggs, darling, and you never know when you'll change your mind. Apart from that, Lisa Vanderpump was pretty much a non-event, which I don't know if you found it interesting to suddenly see this.
It was so weird. It was very non-event. And I also really hated the cuffs on the sleeves of the dress. I just thought it looked so cheap and awful.
Wasn't the most flattering look we've seen on our Lisa, but just the way that she doesn't seem to command any respect from these people anymore, where she's kind of this fossil on a show that doesn't even take place in her restaurant anymore.
No, I enjoyed watching her in the Scandival episode being the person Ariana went to and the person Tom went to. I found those scenes interesting, but she could have not been on the reunion and I wouldn't have noted. I didn't make a single one of my bullet points.
It almost felt like she hadn't watched some of the season when she was like processing in real time that Tom dressed up as his mistress for Halloween.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? No. There were so many jaw-dropping moments that as soon as I do start to feel bad for Tom and Raquel, I then remember them. So that scene where Raquel's talking to Ariana about her relationship with Tom and the lack of sex that they have in their relationship is wild. And I think that is what makes Raquel a bit of an enigma, is that she seems to be both incredibly cunning and incredibly naive at the same time.
Well, because I read that again, I don't have any of the context, but it read like someone trying to suss out whether they're unhappy in the relationship and therefore might break up. And also that would make her feel less bad.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm going to be honest, looks cunning and slightly psychopathic on a TV show, with the hindsight of the fact that they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess with that naivety you're talking about, if you're someone who's having an affair and has fallen in love and is hoping you're going to be with that person, and for some reason you're not thinking through the fact that you're on a TV show and you don't know you're going to be caught, so you don't know that they might not just break up and then you will be together.
Yeah.
I actually think it's quite a human thing to do. And I think it's very easy to judge that watching it as so fucked up.
Yeah.
But I actually know people who've been in that position and have met the partner of the person that they have cheated with or whatever. And there's like a limited, there's weird interactions happen where I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, I think it comes across as more Machiavellian than it was by the nature of it being on a TV show.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because obviously it's an iffy situation in the first place if you're fucking your best friend's man. But obviously if you are going to be in that situation, you're going to go, I'm going to suss out what the situation is in their relationship. Because all I'm getting is his perspective where he's just saying that their relationship's non-existent and they're going to break up soon. But I kind of want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Also, I don't know if anyone's going to want to hear this. And again, this morally, don't condone it, absolutely feel for Ariana. But I think it's also easy to forget when you're just watching something like this that hormones, when you really fancy someone or you think you're in love with someone or you're whatever, make you do crazy shit.
Yeah.
And that when you think, I mean, if we think about how we've all behaved, when you really fancy someone, whether that's when you go a bit mad because they pull away from you and your body acts as if it's having an actual drug withdrawal, or if you really want someone and you honestly feel like you would walk over anyone to get to them, whatever. Yeah. Like, feelings make people do mad stuff. And of course, when that is filmed and played back to you, it must just be that thing of going, I don't know who that is. And it must just be mortifying, because it is, I was going to say unforgivable, but I don't know if I think that's too strong. But of course, it's horrendous behavior and selfish. And I actually think selfish was the best word. And when they kept saying, no, selfish doesn't cover it, I was like, it does. It's completely selfish. Because when people fall into affairs, it's all about being selfish. That is categorically what it is.
I really disagreed with Ariana saying it's subhuman. It's not human. It's like, it's actually a very human experience.
It's completely human.
It's not ethical.
It's
but
the
it
word. It's human. Like, exactly. And so that's where I stand with it. It's categorically don't condone it. I think you can take a moral judgment on it, but I agree. I don't think you can take like a judgment as a human, because like, I think it's fully human.
There's been a reaction online that feels, I'm sure you can imagine, very emotionally charged, that implies to me that this is really tapped into people's universal experience. We've all been cheated on, or we've all been the cheater or whatever. And that's another way in which Scandival has really captured the nation. And that coupled with this tendency to form parasocial relationships with the cast and hyper-invest in their lives and think of them as friends. Again, it's just a recipe for disaster. And suddenly there's this bombshell double effect where we're processing the betrayal with Ariana. We're led to believe they were couple goals and that Sandoval was the best guy on the show. And it's an outlet also to relive our own trauma. Mm. And on a parallel point, I'm not one to condemn Ariana for like striking while the iron is hot and getting all of these endorsement deals while she can. I think think she'd be stupid not to, but it does highlight that this is also a very unique situation that nobody's experienced before, where this is a relationship that played out exclusively on television, pretty much from the start to the finish. And as a result, there are a lot of weird, complex moving parts going on that make it very different to just, oh my God, this was me when my boyfriend cheated on me.
Yes.
I know that Ariana was very quick to shout down Tom Schwartz for saying that it's humiliating that this played out on TV. But like, I'm sorry, it is humiliating. I know it, we want to believe that, you know, Ariana's having her hot girl summer and she doesn't care. But like, it's humiliating in a way that I think none of us can really comprehend. And I don't know if I
Well, also the thing we were saying about earlier about like, it feels uncomfortably close to the kind of thing where it could push someone to hurt themselves. It's very easy, I think, for everyone to forget. You're so right about the parasocial relationships thing is within all that emotion that these people, we're not following just a story, that these people are experiencing not just the trauma of the situation, which a lot of us have been in or understand, but they're having to carry the trauma of, like you say, like the nation's reaction to it.
Right.
In a way that, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure that we all secretly have hoped when someone's hurt us in the past that they would have to be like publicly humiliated for it or whatever. Yeah. But actually think about the weight of Tom Sandoval. No matter how much you hate him, no matter how much you think what he did is appalling, he's not just having to carry his friendship group and the hurt of the person or whatever. You, when you're literally the most hated man in like America right now or whatever, no matter how much you think he deserves that for like morally doing something wrong, when you think about like the weight of that as a human, that's a lot to carry.
And even, and especially actually Ariana, who on the surface of it has the easiest job as the wronged woman with all the public support. But my God, the pressure of carrying the experience of every other wronged woman in America on your fucking back and maintaining that momentum and that goodwill and not fucking it up is immense. Because Sandoval and Raquel have it easy. They're just despised, and anything apart from that is only going to be a positive. But for Ariana to go through this seismic betrayal on television, the humiliation, the lack of privacy, this rapid influx of endorsement deals, and suddenly feeling like the most important person on the planet, but it's all kind of out of pity, and is that going to be your legacy? But you've got to take advantage of it because you'd be silly not to. But then everyone's going to get sick of you, and the contrarians come in with their hot takes, and what dress is she going to wear at the reunion? Because she needs to look hot, but she also needs to be emotional, but not too angry, because then all of a sudden people are going to go, oh, that was a bit harsh. I kind of feel sorry for Tom and Raquel now. And
totally. It's just a lot. I worry about all of them. Yeah. I think the parasocial relationships thing is such a fascinating thing generally. I would love just to like chat about that more, maybe one episode generally, because I think it's so fascinating. And I wonder how it will be impacted by AI and the way we're moving forward. This thing of people feeling connected to people they don't know through engagement and through different ways in which you're now able to connect. But the danger of that meaning people feel personally affronted or affected or excited or whatever, like feel emotions beyond, there's like the boundary is very different.
As in it's further, there's more scope or less?
Yeah, I just mean in terms of, instead of the boundary being like an otherness to the person, everything's made to feel like they're sort of right there. And your friend or your, that you're sort of personally connected to them in a way that means that there's so much more emotion in that engagement. And that's
completely
quite frightening.
We've spoken about this on the show, the danger in picking one housewife and going, I like you and your morals generally seem to align with mine, and then sort of following their take on whatever the topic is can be quite a dangerous thing, because inevitably if you take these very flawed people, that's like the prerequisite to be on these shows, and if you stick them on TV long enough, they're inevitably going to fuck up, or they're going to take a stance that goes against the grain of how you feel.
Well, and I kind of think this about people's relationship to influencers or whatever, that you can't pick one human and place all of your hopes and love and adoration in the same way we wouldn't expect to do that of a relationship. Like, you have to have room for people to be human, and it's just too much expectation, especially when you add in, like you say about Ariana and Tom, that they were putting out an image of this couple goals perfection thing. So it's like, you certainly, the risk is that you're building a parasocial relationship with something that's not real. Yeah. So the fall is so much greater.
And why does it feel so I know, maybe we've always been grappling with this issue when we've been watching The Real Housewives, but it feels something that is so pertinent to today and kind of an extension of that conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, where there seems to be a real need these days where people watch these shows and they go, if you are behaving a certain way because I'm that connected to you, you're almost like an extension of me and you're doing something bad, that then taints me as an individual, that taints my soul and I can't do that. It's like people really struggle to be able to cut it off.
A lack of flexibility as well.
Yeah, create a distance.
It's weird. Maybe it's just a want for control in a world where we feel very out of control at the moment. And
yeah.
I think you said this about people sort of demanding people be cut from shows and things like that, perhaps coming from such a sense of unease or desperation in the world that we need to feel like we have some sort of say in something or handle on something. And and in some ways, I think that's the whole relationships with influencers and things like that, is people want to feel like it's aspirational and that they're being inspired by someone, and which is great. But the sad truth of humanity is the more you get to know someone and the more you understand of them, probably the less inspired you'll be, because we're all just humans.
Yeah, I guess it's just the double disappointment of, wow, you really are fallible and human like the rest of us. The thing I was aspiring to was a lie, but also this was all sold to me as being real.
Yeah.
I thought it was your reality, which, as we've discussed many a time before, can become a very slippery, malleable thing when it comes to making a good show.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Raquel's confessional? Her confession.
Yes.
Kind of suffered from a lot of buzz because there was a lot of, you have to wait until the last 5 minutes for this bombshell. And there was all this stuff online about how the cast haven't signed up yet for the season because if they see what happens in the last 5 minutes, it will change everything. And then we sort of see it play out and it's like, I don't think so. I think she was just saying that they had a lot more sex than just that one time.
Yeah, I feel like, wasn't she just confirming?
The fact that they had sex in Mexico is pretty wild to me.
Means nothing to me.
Well, it was Sheena's wedding and it was like the big group trip. So there were cameras there and Ariana was there. They were all in a hotel together. So the fact that she was able to get away with that is kind of
insane.
That is something of note. I think it is less the individual parts of the confession and more the entire whole, where it did feel like a confession in its truest, most religious sense, where she's kind of come into the room, this Jezebel wanton mistress, and then emerged this martyr through this one of the most harrowing monologues I think I've ever seen on television. It was this moment of absolution in which she sort of like lifted up this veil of deceit and she suddenly became the most sympathetic figure in the whole saga, in a way that she managed to make Tom Sandoval look worse in 5 minutes than I thought La La did in 3 hours.
How? Remind me. Maybe I wasn't watching the confessional properly.
So it was, you know, when she was doing her interview. So it was like 6 days after the reunion. She was basically saying, I've been coached to say a certain thing, which is what the story I delivered at the reunion. But there's more to it. And Tom doesn't want me to say this. And Tom doesn't want me to say that. Kind of stuff where it's like, why? I don't think it's that bad if you said that at the reunion. But I think it's the fact that she was pretty much saying that Tom had coached me to tell a certain story. It just paints the picture that Tom Sandoval was more manipulative than we led to be.
Are they together?
There's a lot of to and fro. I think it's hard to sort of gauge it. So apparently she went to this wellness clinic and she'd ended things with him, but then she was sending handwritten notes to Tom's house and Tom was spotted on a plane and someone saw on his phone that he was talking to Raquel. So I think they just can't quite quit each other. Yeah. I think everyone was hoping that this big bombshell would be like, Raquel's pregnant, which, my God, would be incredible.
Right.
But I think there was this weird do-si-do they were doing where, in terms of a PR strategy, I think it would be good to say that they are still together, because if you're going to do this, the best thing is to be like,
make
it's
it work.
Horrible. Yeah. I feel so guilty, but we are soulmates and at least it was worth it. Over time, people will come around to it. So there's a bit of a wishy-washiness to it.
Which is the worst. Yeah.
But the effect does seem to be that this is not a pairing of equals, that this is some guy who's like 15 years older than this woman who is kind of taking advantage. Like the whole thing when they went to, when they had the break and then Tom went to her little wagon that she had to sit in like 300 feet away from Sheena.
Yeah.
Because Sheena punched her in the face. And then they sort of had like this very rote, slightly awkward conversation between two people where there seems to be no sexual chemistry whatsoever. And then all of a sudden he's like, but seriously, can we have a proper conversation where the cameras are down, where you're like, right, first of all, I'm all about workers' rights. And I do wonder, do they have a union, these reality show people? Because it is insane that the cameras are always on them, even when they're having their lunch. That would bother me. But then what Raquel said afterwards in this confession did seem to sort of confirm this idea that he just wanted to check in with her and go like, okay, so this is what we're going to say. And like, sure, don't say that we shagged in Mexico because it looks really bad. I don't know. And it was just, I found it fascinating that the very last sound that we heard in this entire season was the sound of
the
her
crying.
Exhaling.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just like.
Yes, no, that was a lot.
Artistically, it's working on so many levels. It's like, is it a cry? It could sound like an orgasm or something.
Oh my God.
How close that the two are. But just that like guttural bodily moment of catharsis from Raquel as the weight of everything has caught up to her. It almost felt like a direct parallel to the audience. Like, I was breathless that whole time. I think I held my breath that entire monologue. And when she breathed, so did I. Raquel and I are one.
I feel like people have a very similar experience when listening to our podcast.
Oh, I'm sure. With bated breath.
Yeah.
They just cannot believe what they're hearing.
Well, I really enjoyed dipping my toe into Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. Thank you for joining me temporarily. You know, you don't have to commit to the bit.
It was quite fun to dip into like a massive scandal on a very sort of short term. And also it was nice because OC is really dull at the moment.
Are you going to keep watching it? I would kind of recommend it. I kind of love how crappy
I am. I just watched Emily dancing in Vegas. And honestly, having been in various movement calls where I've like screwed up in the moment that you have to perform, it was bringing me out in sweats. It was the most awkward. In fact, her whole relationship with Shane just gives me hives. Like, it's like my worst nightmare.
That's what I love about Orange County. They just have this parade of short-lived flops where you really have to bend over backwards to find the humor in them, but once you get there, it's a real sweet spot.
Yeah, Kelly sure just hit Shannon on the head with the mallet when she had the bowl on her head.
And then Tamra does that classic Tamra thing of like, I don't want to scare you, but my ex-husband, he like...
I don't want to scare you, famous hypochondriac Shannon Bedore.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. So fucking good. Fucking Tamra, my God.
And obviously we've got the end of the New Jersey reunion as well, which my social media continues to be stacked up with... Although it is balancing out with the sort of Melissa v. Teresa content. I'm like, I never know which one I'm going to get. It's always different rumours.
I think Jersey Housewives are maybe worse than Beverly Hills Housewife fans in terms of just the insane vitriol that you find on social media, where everything is just so tribal and black and white.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
It's so fascinating. And it always reminds me of that viral photo of the dress where everyone was like, is it white and gold or is it blue and black? And what was so thrilling to me was the time when I managed to look. So I always saw the dress as white and gold. And I, like everyone, I had the thing where I was like, I don't understand how you could see it another way. But if you actually look at it for long enough, if you manage to like adjust your eyes, suddenly you see it the other way. Mm-hmm. And it's the most thrilling thing to suddenly be like, oh my God, it's blue. I see it being blue and black. And I think we must remind ourselves of that and carry that when we watch these shows, that it's like, there's always another way of looking at it.
Here.
And I leave it on that.
Beautifully put.
Thank you.
So what should we talk about next time?
New Jersey?
Jersey girls are hot. They're so hot.
Those hot Jersey girls are so hot. One time guest on the podcast, Preston Nyman. I'll never forget that episode, the fact that Macy forgot her headphones and you had to edit the whole thing around her sound.
It was the two of them. It was the worst technical mishap we've ever done. And there are plenty on this show.
There have been some bad ones, but that was painful. But he's on season 3 of New Jersey, and I almost felt emotional being like, you just got to watch season 2, Danielle and Danny. And
what did he have to say? Did he get Danielle?
You know what? It was as we were saying goodbye, so I didn't get it. We're gonna have a whole other meetup just to talk about New Jersey.
Okay.
Phew. Right, take us out. Takes to church.
Oh, God, I don't have the outro again. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Housewives Archives special Vanderpump Rules Scandival edition. If you enjoyed what you heard this week, then give us a follow, write us a review on Apple Podcasts if you listen there. It is so incredibly helpful, but one thing that's even more helpful is telling your friends about the show. Word of mouth is so important to a little old podcast like ours. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time. Is it an orgasm? Is it a cry?
I'm still laughing at, wow, cool guy got a table.
What was
we'll
that?
We'll never know. Oh. Someone will have to write in to tell us what that was. Oh, wow, a cool guy got a table.